Our scripture we'll starting out with will be Matthew chapter 1. That is Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1. I'm not going to go through and reading who begat who, but just so we'll understand it, from verse 1 through 17, it shows the beginning generations of Jesus Christ. From Abraham to Jesus, it shows 42 generations. Luke 3 shows the generation starting from Joseph and goes back to Adam. But the genealogy of Luke differs from Matthew, because Luke's lineage is taken from the line of David's descendants through his son Nathan, whereas Matthew gives the lineage of the kings of Judah and their descendants. Both, however, come to an end concludes in Joseph. So in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Two things we see here. Mary was espoused to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found with child. A spouse does not mean married. To be a spouse is like an engagement or to be betrothed. Different sayings mean different things to different countries. In some countries, marriages are arranged. To be a spouse or betrothed in another country means there is an agreement in which two people are mutually bound to each other. They now forsake all others' relations and are committed. In some countries, these arrangements of marriage is selected by the parents. Sometimes these arrangements are made at birth of the future husband and wife with promise between the two families. We don't know if this was the arrangement of Joseph and Mary. What we do know is they were espoused to one another. Here, when we become engaged to someone, we handle or do things a little different. By our standards or the way we do it, engagement or getting engaged is by choice. It is not arranged. Also, in other countries, women had what they called a dowry. This dowry is money or property that the bride has. You can see how men could get wealthy when they have more than one wife. Today, a man would go broke if he had more than one wife. Women don't have a dowry in this country. However, it is usually the custom of the father to foot the bill of the wedding. Every country has their own custom, ways, and traditions. The time between espoused and getting married in other countries is usually between 10 or 12 months. Here, it can be from one day until death. Why? Because some people get engaged and never say, "I do." Mm-hmm. Also in this country, if someone is found unfaithful, the ring which was given usually is taken back, which means the marriage is off. In other countries, if one is found unfaithful, a writing of divorcement must be given. The second point in this scripture at the end of verse 18, it says, "Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." We know what this means, but in case you don't, it means before Joseph and Mary were intimate or married, she was found to be pregnant. Verse 19 said, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Instead of making it a public scene and exposing her to the city, his thoughts was to put her away privately. The last part of this verse says he was minded to put her away privately. Joseph knew doing this publicly, there would be consequences. If we were to be honest with ourselves, the last thing we would do is think about it. And we definitely would not sleep on it. We would grill the person and want to know who did this. This would be the question, whether it is a woman who was unfaithful or the man. And all we would think about is our pride and reputation. Verse 20 said, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Dreams then had meaning. Dreams were not tainted with thoughts from YouTube, television, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, magazines, and other things that enter our minds. Joseph was told by the angel, don't be afraid to take her. Only God knew what was going through Joseph's mind. By the angel, he was assured that Mary was not defiled by another man, but overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Taking Mary as his wife was for the safety of the child and the reputation of Mary. If Joseph would have put her away, the coming of Christ would have been less than pure or clean. There would be no way they would receive him as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If Mary was accused of adultery, also, Joseph was not the only one spoken to about Christ's arrival. In Luke 1:28, it says that Gabriel came unto Mary and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. It did not say he came to her by dream. Gabriel came and spoke to Mary directly, but to Joseph it was by a dream. In verse 29, it says, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30 of Luke 1, it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So even as Joseph thought to put her away, Mary knew what was going on and had to trust Joseph would do the right thing. How many times has a thing occurred and you had to trust your spouse would do what was right? The angel said, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So Mary knows firsthand by seeing the angel. And Joseph must trust through a dream from an angel. By the angel coming to Joseph, two things were done. He proves Mary's innocence of being with another and satisfies Joseph's doubt. To expose Mary to public shame would mean she had committed adultery. Adultery then was considered a crime. Adultery was punished in Egypt by cutting off the nose of the adulteress. In Persia, the nose and ears were cut off. In Judea, the punishment was death by stoning. Good reason to think it out. Back in Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The instructions were clear who Jesus would be named. The same was said to Mary, His name shall be called Jesus. Verse 22 says, Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This was spoken to those who knew the scriptures. If you looked at Isaiah 7:14, it said, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. All along, Israel and others have been waiting for the sign. If Joseph knew the scriptures as he did, It said, the Lord shall give you a sign. Surely this would be a sign. It also says in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be on end upon the throne of David. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. All the prophets since Samuel have been talking about the coming of Christ. Now, when we go back to Matthew 1:24, we find it says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Remember, Joseph got his truth from a dream. Joseph did not question what he received. When God talks to us, whether by dream, by word, by prophecy, or a small voice from your inner man, do we receive it? And if so, what do we do with it? Do we believe it and do it? Do we believe it and think about it? Or do we even believe it at all? The scripture tells us to let God be true. In order to let God be true, you must believe he is true. This is what Joseph did with what he received. Verse 25 says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph being married to Mary, he did not become intimate with her until Jesus was born, keeping her and the child pure, clean, and holy before the Lord. Now, let's start chapter 2 and look at a few things, and let's see what how the king reacted to what was happening. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem.
It's right around the corner from you.
Excuse me, saints.
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
I'll start again at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are coming to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. Prophecies were heard, received, and believed even by kings. Some kings believed in others and others because they feared the people. It is because of these prophecies Herod did what he did. Let's look at the attitude of the king concerning Christ's coming. Verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Based upon his natural knowledge of the scriptures and hearing what the wise men had said, he wanted to know, where is this king? Herod was not a believing king, but a king that feared he would lose control of his kingdom. He was a tyrant. He did not understand Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Mm-hmm. By the prophecies, he only knew Jesus was coming to claim his kingdom. Herod's kingdom was obtained and maintained by great crimes and shedding of much blood. So there was great concern because the wise men had already called him King of the Jews. One existing problem today is people read and interpret the scriptures naturally. They have no understanding of what is being said spiritually. So they read and take what they read literally. Like Nicodemus when he thought he had to go back into his mother's womb to be born again. Verse 5 said, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Again, their believing in the signs is based on what was written by the prophets, which for us are the Holy Scriptures. Verse 6 says, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Isaiah said it best in Isaiah 9:6. Verse 7 says, Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Worshiping Jesus was the farthest thing from Herod's mind. Mm-hmm. He wanted to kill, not worship. Yes. Verse 9 says, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Luke 2:16 said that they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So when the wise men reached Jesus, he was already born. They came in haste before the night was over, leaving their flocks to the care of others, and entering into the town, they followed the direction which the angel gave them and found Mary and Joseph and the newborn with them lying in a manger. For clarification, saints, a manger is not a nativity scene as we see. It is not the hut covering animals or a stable where they are kept. A manger is a trough that animals feed from. Yes. That is what Jesus was born in. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling is a strip of cloth, not like a well-knitted blanket. Joseph and Mary did not pack a traveling kit for emergency time. We bring babies home from the hospital all bundled up in fine clothes. Jesus didn't even have a hospital to go to. Not even an inn that people stay in. Jesus, being born in a manger, being wrapped in swaddling clothes, shows Jesus can identify with all that are born. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, whom was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Well, Jesus' birth was made lower than how we are born. Whether your birth was in a field, in a cab, the back seat of a car, in a jail cell, Jesus can identify. Mm-hmm. Jesus was not even wrapped in the best. It was less than a hand-me-down clothing from somebody else. Matthew 2:10 said, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Many focus and debate on how many wise men there were. But what I find interesting is in verse 11, the gifts given. Back then, it was customary and important to offer and present gifts to any distinguished high-ranked person who they visited. Mm-hmm. Gifts like gold, precious stones, and spices. Gold was given as their king, and they offered him incense as their god. Myrrh as united to a human body. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, yeah. and is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, verse 12 tells us, and being warned of God in a dream, that is, the wise men were, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. God knew the intent and heart of Herod, just like God knows the intent and heart of man today. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Key word here, be thou there until I bring thee word. Joseph did not question the dream or hesitate. He took his family and did as the angel said. Verse 15 says, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Joseph and Mary waited on a word from God to move. They waited on God to take care of their enemy. Today, there are some things we need to just wait. Allow God to deal with Herod in our life. Our Egypt may be to flee from all the cares of this world. In 2022, examine yourself and ask yourself, what do I need to stay away from? What do I need to remove from myself that I can move closer to God? I want to close by saying this. In Philippians 2:6-9, Jesus came into this world the way he did so we could go where he is. Whatever excuse we have had, it has been taken away. Philippians 2:6. Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus put on our flesh, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And because he did, we have become heirs and joint heirs, whereby we may cry, Abba, Father. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.